Yeah, well, I'm still a little bit naive sometimes about things, so I got to get better at that. But Paul says that Satan has his ministers of righteousness, and they're actually workers of Satan. I believe many pastors, and most of them are actually, I think they're actually working for Satan. I do.
Yeah, you remember the chick traps? One of his points was that Satan has infiltrated the seminary.
Oh, yeah, of course he has.
Future pastors is indoctrinated in the ways of the fallen one.
And chapter and verse where God said go to seminary schools, and they learn more about money and marketing and psychology. And see, this whole system is not of the Father. So I would encourage you. I encourage people to go to man-made religion. Stop going. Tell everybody you're not falling away. You're going to go in the Word and go test everything I believe. Don't talk to me. I'm going to go test without outside influence. And if you sincerely did that and you really sought God, whether you're born again or want to be born again, I believe in a month or two, you'll never go back. You'll never go back. Ready? You got a steeple on your roof there. Do you know what that is? And where it comes from?
We have a bell tower. I'm not sure about the steeple.
This should abhor you. It's a pagan symbol. Comes from the Egyptians. It was ripped off. The Roman Catholics stole it. There's a bunch of them sitting in the middle of St. Peter's Basilica. It's an obelisk, but it's worse than that. The Washington Monument is one. We're all adults. It's a penis. I tell people that because I want to shock them. It's a male body part. It's a penis. On top of the building that's supposed to be of Jesus Christ. Is that not appalling? This is a pagan symbol, Walt.
Well,
that should appall you if it doesn't.
Well, I'm not sure that I am aligned with what you just said. You know,
exactly.
Like, for instance,
it's actually true.
If you look,
if you're over Washington, D.C., from the air is a pentagram.
Yeah.
I think the Vatican is a pentagram, and
it's
an actual outline of what looks like Satan.
Yeah, it's absolutely true, and here's why. Where did this come from, this obelisk? They used to worship the gods of fertility.
The Egyptians.
And they used to bake long bread and throw it at the foot. And then in the Bible, it talks about astropoles. So they're all pagan worship. This is all pagan worship that they've incorporated in. The bells. My young brother, Kuo, just did a study. Roman Catholic bells. I'm sure the Anglicans took it from them. You know why they use bells on churches? Can you find that in the Bible anywhere?
There are bells that were on the hem of the high priest's garment.
Right.
That went into the Holy of
Right.
Holies.
But not on God's temple, not in the building. The Catholics believe that the bells, ding, ding, warded off evil spirits. And so all of these things that these evangelical churches or Anglican, you guys can, you know, you're not evangelical. You know, they consider Anglican evangelical?
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's like Roman Catholic, Orthodox, Anglican, evangelical. I think there would be some differences there. But they've taken all of these false traditions and added them to Jesus Christ. And Jesus said that voids your worship and it makes God angry. And it's not the truth. So what I would ask somebody like you is, how can you worship God if you're not in the truth? You can't. It's impossible.
Well, the way I understand it, I worship God with the truth that I have, which I don't think I have the entire mind of Christ. I think I have a tiny sliver.
Right, but if you're united to something that has a bunch of errors and lies and false ways, you're united to it. Like I always tell people, they say, well, I go to the church, I'm not united to it, right? And I go, let's see. So if you go to the Mormon church and you sing and you pray with them, are you united to them? They go, well, I guess I kind of would be. And I said, so you go to the Baptist church, you sing and you pray with them, right? Yeah. You are united to them. Spiritually united. So you're going to a place that has, whether you believe in it or not, that has a bunch of false ways that Christ says you must flee from. It says flee all appearance of evil. The church system, they don't obey God. Hebrews 5:9 says Christ made the way for those who obey him. You're not obeying God in the Anglican church. You're going to miss salvation, Walt. His blood's not going to cover you. I love you. I got to tell you the truth. Not going to cover you. It's making a mockery. It's trampling his blood.
What's a hard saying?
What's that?
That's a hard saying for me to hear.
Yeah, Jesus says a lot of things are hard. Yeah, but absolutely, it's true. That's vain worship. You're practicing vain worship. In a building, behind a man, a pastor, that God didn't ordain behind the pulpit. Ready? Where's the pulpit come from in the building? One time, Nehemiah wanted to preach, and he wasn't even preaching. He was reading the scriptures, which you could call it preaching. Preach means, by the way, did you know I'm a street preacher? Most people don't know this. Do you know what the word preach means?
I don't, but I'm going to think it means bringer of good tidings.
Yeah, well, yeah, we were real close. A public crier. It's not a guy behind a wooden box. There never was any of that in the Bible. Jesus was a street preacher. He preached on the side of a mountain. Paul went into the synagogues and the marketplaces preaching. John the Baptist was preaching in the desert. I'm a street preacher. So people say, oh, you got to do it from a building. No. The only place it was done in the building was in the synagogue system that God never even ordained, but God allowed because they were taken off into captivity. But the pulpit shows up once under Nehemiah, and he just built like a giant deer stand. That's all he did to so that the millions of Jews could see him. They took that, the Roman Catholics, and installed it as a power pulpit. Because now in your church, in order to speak at the pulpit, what do you got to get? Approval. Of course. It used to be, in the body of men, anyone could get up and talk as long as it was as orderly, have something to share. That's what the New Testament body does. You have elders, you have deacons, you have teachers, and then any man can go, the Lord's put something on my heart, I want to bring it. Okay, why don't you turn? Go for it. Now, you got to go to seminary, you're not the teacher. You know, talk to the pastor later, and you know, we can't fit you in an hour and a half. These services are run by men, not the Holy Spirit. When you gather with true saints, we can meet for 4, 5, 6, 7 hours. That's the Holy Spirit. Paul, you mentioned next time somebody tells you, well, they gather on the first day of the week, Sunday, and they preach. Paul preached till midnight. When has that ever happened in your Anglican church?
Unless they started at 11.
Yeah. Till midnight, Paul preached. So we have a 10-point test on our website that would eviscerate the Anglican church because it's aimed at man-made church. And then, of course, the gospel that I preach to you. And then I teach and expound on all these, where the steeples came from, Christmas, Good Friday, all of this stuff. And then we have my wife has an area for women on her blog. We teach women how to come out of the world and obey. And we just ask people to go ponder. Christ is the way, and he's the life. A lot of people want the way to heaven, and they want eternal life, but they conveniently rip the truth out and go, well, I only have so much truth, and that's all I really want. Well, you're going to miss eternal life, because Christ and the Spirit wants to give us all truth. Because guess what, Walt? If we don't walk in and live in truth, what are we in? If we're not in light, what are we in?
Darkness and error.
Yeah, it's only two. And then you must know this. There's two kingdoms. God's kingdom, it's in his people's hearts right now. One day it'll come when Christ brings it back. And then this is Satan's kingdom. And so you're actually living in Satan's kingdom and you have to oppose it. The Bible says, ready? Nobody teaches this. We're living in Satan's kingdom. Sports, politics, entertainment, fashion, culture, all this stuff. It's Satan's world. What does the Bible tell us we're supposed to do with Satan? Resist him. So we're supposed to resist his culture. I'm in the world, but I'm not of it. If you see me somewhere and you go, wow, that's a worldly place, and I'm there, look around. You'll find gospel signs or you'll see me street preaching. I ain't there enjoying it. We're supposed to resist it. But most Christians, because of churchianity, is not teaching them rightly, are right with it. They come out of church, they go into the world, you can't tell them apart. Look at the Israelites. Did they look like the pagans or were they very different?
Very different part of the time.
Well, when you say part of the time,
it seems to me like they have, like right now,
like the Israelites.
Yeah.
People, back then.
Oh, back then.
Now they become very corrupted. Yeah, the Israel that people talk about is not the Israel of God's eye. This is a secular Israel. People are always amazed when I tell them, last time I checked, like Tel Aviv per capita has more homosexuality and more abortions than San Francisco or anywhere. Very secular, very pagan culture. But God does have his eye on Israel. And Christ is going to set his feet on the Mount of Olives and look at the enemies. That's why you know the Bible's true. Look at 2,000 years ago, a goat herder said Israel will be surrounded, hated.
It is hated.
And it is. It's coming to pass. And here's what should really, really cause Americans to not be fearful, but have wisdom and go, I better get my life right. America, most powerful nation on earth still, probably. Nowhere in Bible prophecy. She's gone.
We've been talking a lot.
She's neutralized or gone, dollar collapse, a limited strike, something. She's gone. And the only way Israel can become a victim to all those nations is if America's gone. Because America's so strong and we're ready to stand with Israel. God's going to say, no, 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 I've used you long enough. America never was a godly Christian nation, but God has used us. He uses everything. And God's going to take America out of the way and say, no, I'm going to look over Israel now. I'm her protector. I'm her redeemer. America's a very paganized, all the way from George Washington all the way down. He was a Mason. He was into the occult. George Washington was a deist. He was supposed to be an Anglican, but he was a deist. He didn't even really believe that God had cared much about us. Like UFOs kind of started the earth and took off and don't really care about us. Look up George Washington.
I have, and I don't agree with what you just said. I think he was a Trinitarian Christ.
Oh, that's not from all the research I've found. And I've read a lot of books where people say, like, when it came to the Lord's Supper and Jesus, he got up and left.
I agree with what
you said. He was not a fan of Jesus Christ. It's like, so America was never a Christian nation. It had some Christian influence, but America is Babylon, and I preach it's Sodom too. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. So I'm thankful that God just gives us the opportunity to travel, preach all over. Our website goes all over the world. If you put up denominations exposed, we come up like a number one page of Google, and that's just God doing it. We don't have a marketing company that does it for us. We just put it out there and say, Lord, do something with it. And he's faithful and just, and he does that. So we want to warn our neighbor. Get in the Word. Test everything. Come out of all sin and iniquity to prove that you're really of him. You're married. Do you lay with other women?
I have never.
Okay, that's proof that you're married and you love your wife. If we love God, but we lay spiritually with a whole bunch of other things, what does that prove about us? We're spiritual adulterers, we're idolaters. So ponder all that.
I will, thank you. I'll go to your website also and do something.
Yeah, my email's on there. I'd love to talk to you and encourage you.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure meeting you.
Yeah. So it's Tupo?
Tupo Sanamen.
Tupo.
Tupo, yeah, T-U-P-O-S. Right. Yeah, look it up in the Greek. It means example. I try to be that.
All right.
I'm in trouble if I'm not.
Well, my wife's name is Elsbeth, and mine is Zadok.
Zadok.
Z-A-D-O-K. Zadok.
Oh, your last name. No.
No, it's the names that we go by. Our parents gave us worldly names.
Okay.
And we have prayed and we have received.
Oh, and what? So what does Zadok mean in what language?
Hebrew for priest.
Oh, it is. Okay. Yeah. I should have known that. And your wife's name is what?
Elsbeth, House of God.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting. So you kind of did what we did, took different names.
Yeah.
That's good.
But
now what you're
not taking it to the extreme that you
but now what you got to do, the names only matter if you actually live up to it and obey God's word.
And
obedience.
We are on a journey.
Remember, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And you're on a journey, but what I would caution you is, you don't have a lot of time left, nor do I. Your journey could end today. Don't short your journey, because think about it. I hear that a lot, Walt. Last thing. I hear that a lot. People say, well, I'm on the sanctification journey. I'm a work in progress. How much glory of God is being stolen when we don't obey him and proclaim him and find our ministry and be doing for the kingdom of God? It's not about you. It's about what is being stolen from God. And that's where God destroyed the earth in Noah's day for violence. Violence can be you and I punching each other. That's not good. But really, the violence God talks about in Hebrew, look it up, is injustice. So if I cheat someone, I'm violent against them. And I tell people you're violent against God. And why I tell people they're violent against God? You're stealing his glory. You're not obeying his word. You're cheating him. If you claim him, you're supposed to be blood bought. You don't even own yourself. So it's like going to your job where the guy says, work for 10 hours, I'll pay you. And the boss isn't around and you go, you're cheating him. You're violent against him. God loves justice. And he's going to bring it one day.
I'll ponder it.
Test yourself.
You.
We love you, neighbor.
Yes. Love you, too.
You got my email on there. If you ever want to reach out and talk, I'd love to hear from you.
All right.
All right. God be praised.